The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Thank you for being a part of the program. We have a lot to get to today. Some really cool guests, including a former coach who can tell us about both teams and an important rivalry. But right now, let's start with a story about the Aggies DB, Tariq Chappell, the key to stopping the Bulldogs. We'll talk to Jackie Sherrill about 3 hours from now. He coached at A&M. He also coached at Mississippi State. I think he'd have a rooting interest in this one. Meanwhile, what about the rankings in the SEC? Is Georgia still the best team? Even after last week, some people believe Alabama looked the best. Mike Griffith, always objective,
yes,
always neutral.
That's right.
He will join us later, and we are excited. Senator Thune has introduced a bipartisan bill to prohibit a tax write-off for NIL contributions. A lot of senators getting involved. Remember, we talked to Senator Tuberville recently. He's got a bill with Joe Manchin, now John Thune. Who will be next? May even be some former players running for the Senate. Meanwhile, the hurricane has wreaked absolute havoc and disaster. Hurricane Ian in Florida. Ian has been one of the worst storms in American history, with devastating winds, a storm surge, and absolute destruction. If you are just seeing these for the first time, it's heartbreaking to take a look at the scenes from Fort Myers, Florida, in the aftermath of a Cat 4, nearly a Cat 5 storm. It's the fifth worst storm ever, and in many respects in Florida, in this part of the state, it is by far the worst. And we are certainly sending out our prayers and warm wishes to our many, many friends down there who have been devastated, many without power today, and certainly a long recovery ahead. We'll talk to Alex Scarborough, joining us from Alabama in a few minutes. Ray Tanner, the athletic director at South Carolina, they have a game tonight because of the storm that is about to barrel down on that state. Mike Griffith later, and Jackie Sherrill will join us in the final hour of our program. And we appreciate all of you being here. And certainly a lot of folks who are normally here are likely not here today because of the power outages. But I know everyone's sending their very, very best wishes. We will continue. We'll get to guests in a moment. Your phone call is now at 855-242-7285. Mitch is in South Carolina, and you are next. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Paul. First, let's, as you said, lift our prayers up for the people in Florida. And unfortunately, I think I'm kind of sort of in the backside of it coming up tomorrow. You have been pretty cool this week. I have liked the way you have just quietly took your show back.
Thank you.
You're not letting people tell you how to run your show. I just love the fact that you put Jeff in his place yesterday. I've wanted to call in and say so badly, isn't he a contractor and not a producer?
Yeah, and I think you know me pretty well, Mitch. I try to let people have their moments, but there comes a point in time when you hear the same thing from a guy like that every day, and it's what I've done is what you would have done, and a lot of people would have done.
Well, and you do it in a way that is cool. You don't lambast them, but you've got that sarcastic. And I mean, I've caught that sarcasm plenty of times myself, so I know how it goes. And like the caller that called after Jim yesterday, you let him know you wanted to listen to what Jim had to say. So you let him say it. You are reminding people it's your show.
Well, yeah, but you know what? It's, I mean, most of the complaints about this show I've heard before, and I'm not saying they aren't justified, and they probably are, but there aren't many programs that are on as long a period of time a week as we are, and I feel like you can't just put this show on at a specific moment and think you've gotten it all, and a lot of times people do, and whether I really want to be or not, Mitch, I'm here for the whole show. And so I get to hear it all. It happens in my own house. I mean, my wife will say, how come you do this? And I'm like, whatever. You can't argue and say, well, you missed that or you should have heard this. You have to accept the fact that people are busy and they have other things to do. So they may grab you at any moment. So you try to do the best you can at any particular moment. But there are moments in a program where I think it's a good idea to let somebody say something or do this. And if somebody doesn't like it, then we're sorry.
And I have to thank you. I truly have to thank you. You put Cat Daddy in his place yesterday.
Well.
He's... constantly, everybody's going to beat Clemson. Everybody's going to beat Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a South Carolina fan, accept the fact that last year was probably your best shot. And you lost, what, by 28?
30 to nothing.
30, I'm sorry. I missed a two-point conversion somewhere.
But anyway, I have enjoyed you putting people in their place when they deserve it, and you're letting people have the show whenever they deserve it. It's really been good this week. Thank you.
Well, Mitch, thank you. Appreciate that very, very much. Let's check in with John Boy in Texas. Hello, John Boy.
How you doing, Mr. Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, this long-time listener, first-time caller, and I was going to call in and gripe about Jim yesterday, but that seems to be what everybody wants to do. So, do you remember a story about, it was back in the 40s, I think, when Grantland Rice and Ty Cobb were heading back from the Masters, back through South Carolina, and they stopped at Shoeless Joe Jackson's liquor store?
I vaguely remember hearing about that, yes. Tell us again, though.
Well, they were heading back from Augusta from the Masters that year, and, you know, this was several years after Shoeless Joe got banned, but, you know, him and Ty Cobb were buddies, and they were coming back through Greenville, South Carolina, and decided to stop in his liquor store, and he kind of, the word is, he wanted to play dumb like they didn't know who he was, because he didn't want to talk to Ty, because they had some kind of falling out at the end of their career, but I just thought, you know, it would have been a crazy place to be, you know, being a fly on the wall or something like that at that store at that time with those three people there.
Yeah, that's a great I'm going to go back and reread that, John Boy. Thank you for reminding me of an iconic story. Thank you very much. Dominic is in Jacksonville, and you are
What's
on next.
What's up, Paul?
Dominic, haven't seen him in a while. What's going on?
I called last week when you was out, buddy.
Yeah.
I just want to call, man. I've been listening to the show, man. I've been busy down here in Florida storm, but I just want to call and let you know I am depressed about Bill O'Brien. If all the fans can see this, Paul, that he's not a great offensive coordinator. Don't you think the greatest college coach, Nick Saban, can see the same thing?
No, Dominic, you're thinking like a fan and not an analyst. Coaches sometimes can't see what's right in front of them because they are a little bit too close to the sun.
But, he's the worst offensive coordinator since we had with Major Applewhite. He doesn't put none of the athletes that in position that we have on our team.
Well, no, I would agree with you. I mean, when you think about McElwain and Kiffin You know, obviously Lane and Sark. I would agree. He is the worst one. He is the worst one Alabama's had since year one.
But Paul, but I'm looking at all. You know, I look at all the games. I'm looking at and I love my boy Legend. He's right, man. Pete Golden, if he was with another team, he'd have been fired. He don't even blitz our linebacker. He's not. It's just like vanilla on both sides of the ball with all the elfin talent we have. Paul, I'm be honest. I think we're gonna lose. I think we could be on the verge and get. He can get upset this week. Looking forward to Texas A&M and Tennessee is not no slouch. I think Tennessee can beat us, Paul.
Dominic, I agree. I think it's a dangerous stretch, and you know, if Alabama goes out there and shows and knows what it's doing on the road, then we'll quit talking about that. But I totally agree with you on O'Brien. I keep seeing his name mentioned for a lot of jobs. I don't get it. He had a good stint at Penn State. He was a borderline disaster with the Texans, and Saban threw him a life rope, and here he is. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back here as we get ready for some more phone calls before more guests. And let's talk to JC, who is up next in Auburn. Hello, JC, in Alabama. Hello, JC.
Hey, Paul, how's it going, buddy?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, just want to get your opinion on something. First and foremost, you know, you do a great job and really enjoy listening to you.
Thanks a lot.
So how hard is it going to be for Auburn to get another head coach, knowing how everything is down there? And I say that meaning toward, like, the Board of Trustees, because I think I speak for every Auburn fan when they're not going to let anybody come in there and take total control of that program. And that is the problem. And that, I hate to say it, but that is the reason why Nick Saban is so successful, because he has total control. And Auburn's not, Board of Trustees, Jimmy Rain, whoever, they're not going to allow that. And when do you think that's going to change?
Well, it's a good question, JC, because it's been an issue now for a long time. I would argue that while they have meddled, they are not alone in that. There has been great success at Auburn. And,
correct, yeah.
You know, Tommy Tuberville was very close to a mini dynasty of sorts, and he had the unfortunate fate of bumping into Nick Saban. But had Alabama made another clown hire, Tuberville might still be there instead of the Senate. So and nobody, I mean, and he was, I mean, we all know his story. He survived the meddling of the Board of Trustees. Except that he ran out of steam. But so I think there's good and bad. I know some of these people, and they have made good decisions. I think it's easy to just to throw stones at them. I used to argue in the past that for all the criticism that Bobby Lauter received, he did a lot of good things at Auburn. And without him, Pat Dye would have never been successful. And I think Dye was the most successful and important coach Auburn has ever had. So what has to happen now is whenever the change comes, and it will be coming soon, Auburn needs a coach that understands the environment and can win. And once you start winning, it's amazing what you can do. You know, Saban had control from day one because he was a proven commodity. There are no Nick Sabans out there to bring in.
Well, I agree. I mean, and that's why I can't understand. You know, Auburn's got to get somebody that's familiar with the SEC, somebody that can recruit in the SEC. And I don't understand why they went out and got. And I like Brian Harsin as a person. I think he's a very, you know, a very respectful guy.
He
is. I just don't think he's.
JC, though, the saga of Brian Harsin, though, is what happens, and I'll defend the trustees here. The trustees did not want Malzahn around much as long as he was, and quite frankly, they were probably right about that. Malzahn should have never gotten that last extension from the previous president, should have never hired Brian Harsin. I'm not saying that some of their suggestions were great. But I can tell you right now, Kevin Steele would not have driven Auburn, would not have Auburn in the position that it currently is in. He understood the SEC. He grew up in the SEC, right. And he would have known how to recruit. Harsin did not understand the recruiting in the SEC, and he still doesn't.
No. And it would, and you know, whoever does come in there, I mean, it's going to take. I think it's going to take quite a while to rebuild that program because it's. I don't know if this is as worse as it's ever been, but it's pretty bad.
I think I can tell you this. I covered Doug Barfield's last year at Auburn in 1980. It was my first year in the state. And it's as bad as it's been since then, I will tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I'm just worried about. I just hope that Auburn can – I hope they can get somebody that they're going to keep for a while because, I mean, you look at, like you said, Tuberville. We've been through Tuberville. We've been through Chizik, Malzahn, now Harsin. It's just like it's an ongoing.
Well, JC, thank you. The worst thing that happened to Auburn, I think, is that Pat Dye should have coached another 10 or 15 years. He had some health issues. He ran into an NCAA investigation. And things – because he was still a very young man when he was – essentially forced out. I think Auburn can come back. I've seen it too many times. Auburn has everything you need to be successful in college football. When, you know, I mean, two of the worst coaches in modern Auburn history, one won a championship and the other one nearly won, was 13 seconds away. So it can be done. And both of those happened in the era of Nick Saban at Alabama. Think about that for a second. Let's talk to Justin, who is in Auburn. Hello, Justin.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
A couple things I wanted to touch on, one being Auburn. But first, Tuesday, if I'm not wrong, did I hear Jim say that he breeds people like him?
I don't know. He said a lot lately, so I'm hesitant to commit myself. I mean, I'm most hung up on what he said yesterday because it's by far the most profound thing he's ever said on this show.
I've gotten to where I can't hardly listen to him, and Tuesday really got my attention because he said, you know, if I'm right, he said, I breed people like me, and he wants more people like him on the show.
Yeah, well, I think he did say that, yes.
That's the first thing he's ever said that I agree with him on. An idiot breeds other idiots. You know, so it's plain and simple on that one. But Auburn, I wanted to touch on the Harsin thing. If we were to get him out sooner rather than wait till the end of the season, wouldn't that be more beneficial towards the recruiting class coming up, you know, in the future season?
I'm not sure. Right now, I doubt sincerely that you're going to be able to turn too many players your way. I mean, if most players at this point, and it's late, have narrowed their list down to three or four schools. I can't imagine those who haven't committed are still shopping around aimlessly. So it probably wouldn't make a big difference. And besides, even if you got rid of Harsin Saturday night, the second the game ended, you wouldn't be able to bring a new coach in until late November at the absolute earliest, maybe even later than that. There's an argument that the more time you have to look for a coach, especially with the chaos that is currently going on at Auburn in the AD's position, would be advantageous. But you don't need that long. I think the powers that be at Auburn have a pretty good idea right now. They could tell you within two or three coaches, you know, who it's going to end up being. We'll take a short break, and we are coming right back with a special guest and then more of your phone calls.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Right at 10:30, right here on the SEC Network.
And we're back, and all eyes on Fayetteville Saturday afternoon as Alabama again hits the road. They struggled the last time out at Texas, nearly lost the game. They take on Arkansas, a team they struggled with last year at home. Alex Scarborough has been writing about it, and we'll be covering the game. Alex, many thanks for joining us. Give us your view on what this thing looks like as we get closer to Fayetteville.
Yeah, it's an awfully dangerous game for Alabama because you do have to go back to 3 weeks ago. I was in Austin for that game in Texas. That really, they somehow find a way to win that game, but every flaw on this team is revealed in the process, whether you're talking about mental mistakes just overall, whether you're talking about defensive back play, offensive line play, a lack of real playmakers at receiver. All of that came into crystal clear focus in Austin. And while the last 2 weeks surely have felt better in Tuscaloosa, you have to remind yourself they're both at home and they're both against Louisiana Monroe and Vanderbilt, and all due respect, the level of competition is not the same. And the thing I go back to is this Arkansas team, while they're coming off a tough loss against Texas A&M, they're very dangerous for two really key reasons. One, anytime you have a quarterback with the ability of a KJ Jefferson, both in the passing game and in the running game, you factor in his size, he is a problem to go against defensively. And then on the other side of the ball, Arkansas is sporting one of the best pass rushes in the country, leads the country in sacks right now against an offensive line that I go back to having real concerns about how they're going to protect Bryce Young. You get Bumper Pool and you get Drew Sanders chasing after Bryce Young all day. And if he doesn't have an outlet at receiver, it could be a long afternoon in Fayetteville That 17-point line, it strikes me as really high because I do think this is a game, while I'm not going to go out on a ledge and say I'm picking Arkansas to win, it's a game that if I'm Alabama, I'm very concerned. You got to get out to a really strong start because the folks in Fayetteville are going to be going nuts.
Yeah, Alex, I mean, we look at these lines all the time, and as you know, last year Alabama in three of those four SEC games on the road, lucky to win. The Auburn game in four overtimes, barely survived Florida, lost to A&M, and then had one really good game. And I say it all the time, you know, it's not like the two of us vote on what the line is. That's a betting, that's a perception of the betting public or a combination of that. But those lines keep showing up, though, don't they?
They do, and it's curious. And I know a lot of lines aren't predictive necessarily of this is what we think is going to happen. It's what to get people to entice them to bet. I think that's one of the things you have to step back and realize. But 17 points on the road for a team that, again, has real issues. I know Arkansas is not a perfect football team. I know there's a reason they lost to A&M, and A&M, I think, is a flawed football team as well. And, yes, they have injuries. And, yes, I continue to have question marks. I like the receiver core, but the reason the game last year was so close in Tuscaloosa, remember, Arkansas only lost by a touchdown in that game. Treylon Burks was a big part of it. I think they have the pieces, though. I mean, when you look at Alabama, when they have struggled, it's really strong quarterback performance, and their offensive line is an issue. And I look at Arkansas, and I just say, those two things can very easily happen. And again, don't discount what the road environment. We saw Alabama, especially the offensive line, and even Will Anderson to a certain extent, which we didn't necessarily expect, they withered under the pressure of an 11 a.m. kick in Austin. And I know that was a big deal game for a lot of folks in that town, and that stadium was electric. But don't fool yourself into thinking that it's not going to be the exact same thing in Fayetteville. They're going to be amped up, and they have reason to believe that they can pull off the upset. So 17 points, you know, I'm not a betting man anyways, but that seems a little rich for my blood.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would say is that it won't be nearly 100 degrees. It's considerably cooler in Arkansas. But the one thing I am curious about, Alex, is, you know, we keep hearing from Bama people, they're going to have more compliments, especially at wide receiver. What do we know about that?
Yeah, I know there's some optimism that a JoJo Earl can come back, maybe even a Tyler Harrell. I'll believe it when I see it, and I'll believe when they play, are they 100%? Like, I'd still like to see what they're capable. I'm not even sure I know what those two guys are capable of at 100%. I'm optimistic that they can be difference makers in the passing, especially Harrell. And the speed, and Alabama is missing that deep play threat that they've had the last few years, whether it's Jameson Williams or Jalen Waddle. You can't discount what that does to a defense, making you defend all corners of the field. But I don't know that a guy walks in and immediately that's the issue. Alabama looks like a receiving core that has some good parts, but they all look to a certain extent like possession receivers, and you need that game breaker. You can't just have Jahmyr Gibbs be your Mr. Everything. And Jahmyr Gibbs is fantastic. I think he could very easily play his way into Heisman consideration. I think he's that good. But you can't have your passing game run through your running back exclusively and expect to succeed in the SEC, expect to succeed on the road with any consistency. And that's countering in how good of a quarterback Bryce Young really is. He needs those weapons to emerge around him. And while I think by the end of the season we could see those things, I just don't think you're turning a corner and suddenly, hey, there's Jameson Williams part two walking through that door. I don't think Alabama should expect that to happen with a blink of an eye.
Alex, this could be sound like an odd question considering Alabama is number two in the country. They're a 17-point favorite. You've alluded to some of the issues. But for the team that you've seen now through 4 weeks, what would you say is the biggest thing that the prognosticators and the so-called experts that we hear from every day during the offseason that always tell us how great the Alabama team is going to be? What do you think is the one thing they missed on so far?
I think it's a combination of the offensive line and the lack of skill players at receiver. I think we just had penciled in that the offensive line was going to recover from last year and that it was a fluke. And, oh, what they really were was what we saw against Georgia in the SEC championship, when I think the rest of the season bared out the fact that they were not that team. You looked at an all-SEC, preseason all-SEC with Emile Ekior, and you looked at some pieces and you looked at some recruiting rankings and you said, aha, they're going to be great. And I'm sorry, it just doesn't happen like that. I know there's optimism there, especially with the new offensive line coach they brought in from Kentucky, Wolford. They liked how they're turning the corner physically, being a physical offensive line. But until that happens, how do the pieces fall into place? Because you don't have that receiver that necessarily scares defenses. And Bryce Young, as good as he is, Bryce Young running for his life at his size and being a guy who's a little reluctant to really run the football in the open field, it's setting you up for some real issues. And you know, maybe an injury never happens, but you don't want your quarterback to get hit like that. You want everything to work fluidly and play complementary football. And until they get a consistent running game, until they get a consistent downfield threat at receiver, they're just a little bit lacking in terms of being a dynamic offense and the Alabama offense that I think everyone expects year over year. And I think that's what what people in the preseason, I think you sold yourself into, you know, this is what they're going to be. Alabama gets the benefit of the doubt. They deserve it. But I just think, in a sense, you got to wait and see, especially after that, what that Texas game showed you, that no, it's not just immediate rebuild and they're what they were last season.
Fantastic analysis from Alex Scarborough on Alabama's treacherous road trip this weekend to Fayetteville. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it. We're heading to the break. He is very wary. So what does that mean? It means closer than the experts think, or maybe even a loss. We'll get your reaction right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And hey, welcome back to the program. Jim is up next. Hello, Jim.
Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Well, you know, it's controversial things that happen and said, and I don't know whether, you know, I pondered for many, many months and days and even years about what to say about what I said, but it's the truth of what I said. It is the truth what I said, and I want to say something about this hypocrite you got. Of all things, you got a referee, you know, Paul. You know a referee. Most referees, in my opinion, I want to be careful what I say, because not all referees are reject ball players, you know, that couldn't make it playing ball, so they became a referee. I know there's a lot of them that are that way. I knew some of them, and I still know some of them. And I think that's what you got with the judgmental judge that's blasted me all over the road for the last couple of months, Trey. Little Trey, what a name for a guy. That's another name, a weasel name. But Trey comes in and says, you know, he doesn't approve of me. He don't like it. Well, does it matter what he likes? I don't like it either. I don't like a lot of things on that show. I don't like a lot of things in life. But you know what I mean? It's the hypocritical nature of the thing that burned me up with his big mouth, judgmental crap yesterday.
Well, I'm glad you we're able to clear the air on
that.
I
haven't finished yet. I got one more. I got another point to make about it, Paul. One of the major points is, I don't, you know, I talking about Christianity and Christians, Do I have to be approved of a board by a board of a Christian committee, which is no such thing? Only God in heaven knows and approves of those things. And I'm saying that he says, you know, he don't think that I'm worthy of saying what I say. Or, and not worthy. What gets me is, do you have to be a certified Christian to quote scripture? And I think I am one, but do you have to be a certified Christian to quote scripture?
My best judgment would be no, you do not.
And no, you do not is exactly the right answer. But seems like Trey's approval board wants to approve everything or disapprove of it. The guy is warped. I tell you something else, Paul. I've wondered why I ought to say this. But he's talked about having trouble, sick, being sick, having really deep. And I prayed for the guy. I really did when he told stories about how sick he got. But I'm going to tell you something else that I firmly believe. And this is my opinion. I don't know that. I don't know it. God hadn't told me this. But it's just my sapient, wise opinion. I believe many people that bring. First of all, let me give you a scripture. It's another scripture I know is a fact. You can read it for yourself. Jesus said, it's not what goeth in. They were talking about what you can eat and things might make you sick or whatever. He said, it's not what goeth in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. And I think that from what I've heard of Trey, I think he's been defiling his own body, his own spirit, his own self, his own mind, his own total being. With the things that he said, because I've heard enough of what he said to know he's been talking like that for years, probably. It's not just happened overnight. And I just have to wonder if the illnesses that he's had have not been caused by the things he said. What do you think about that? I mean,
you're putting me in a position to give expertise on things I'm not really qualified to give expertise on. I don't know whether...
Well, I've studied the Bible enough to know that what I'm saying is
spiritually can affect how you feel physically.
That's not the point, Paul. That's not the point. You're missing the point. The point is what he said about defiling the body. He said it's not what goes in your mouth that defiles you. In other words, what you eat or whatever, that's not what defiles you. He said what defiles you is what comes out of your mouth. In other words, rotten lies, nasty stuff. Judgmental stuff that Trey's been good at doing, obviously, for a long time. He's done it to me. He's done it to others.
Well, but Jim, I think of my own self here. I don't know if I'd be able to walk if that was applicable to me.
Yeah, I know that, and it doesn't always come true for everybody.
Should I try to crawl out of here? Because I don't think I'm capable anymore.
Everything. God doesn't let everything apply to everybody.
Oh, okay.
Maybe yours is coming later. A lot of us go,
okay.
You know.
I hear you. I heard you. I wish I hadn't, but I did.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I'm afraid I do.
Well, I
still have time, though, don't I? I presume, don't I?
Well, yeah, you have time. You know, Jesus said, repent and be saved. That's all he said.
Okay.
That's the main thing he said.
Yeah, I better hurry up.
Well, I'm just making a point about Trey. I'm sick of his, I think I got a right to be sick of the things he said yesterday about me with his emphatic, refereed, high-pitched voice, like he's judging the world. Who appointed him king of the world? That's all I want to know.
The answer would be nobody.
Well, I've said enough, but at least I felt like I ought to say that, Paul, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much. I-Man is next.
Oh, I'm on hold, but I didn't get to step in on that conversation. I mean,
we're all friends. Nothing was going to interrupt that.
Oh, no, but we're friends and we're family. And you know, I point Trey, he can be judgmental boss of anything he chooses to be. And speaking about breeding people like him, is there any proof he's breeded anything other than maybe the living room floor? I mean, I'm asking an honest question.
I don't know the answer.
He has no kids. He has no grandkids, but he's a breeder. And I'm telling you,
maybe he's got a goat. I don't know.
A goat? I mean, you know, one thing's for sure, when he walks out to the pasture, they all back up to the fence. But, you know, Paul, I mean, if he was going to the breeding store, you know, storage place, they'd throw him that stuff out. It's no good. It's no good. It's just wasted. Wasted time and effort. But, I mean, talking about being judgmental, who's the most judgmental person on this program? The only reason I call and bother with the old fool is because I want some clarification of things he said. His creator talked to him. When's the last time he said anything about his dad? It was belligerent as hell. Have a good day.
By the way, there's a football game tonight. South Carolina State taking on South Carolina. We want to get back to football, Randy?
Could we?
Yeah, we are.
We are a sports show.
We're going to go. We're going to go over the entire schedule for this weekend. Who's leading in the rushing department, the passing, special teams.
Absolutely.
Fumbles. Which offensive lineman has graded? We are going to come back. More of your phone calls, more guests. We are heading to Columbia, South Carolina in a few minutes. Give an update on that game coming up here. And we're all going to hopefully return here in a few minutes.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.